हेलो, इट्स रिकॉर्डिंग. या इट्स ओवर बट रिकॉर्डिंग इज. या
or have it behind it. Okay. Dear committee and all other audience, welcome to the doctoral trial lecture by the doctoral candidate Sumik Mondal. This is the first part of the public defense. Estimated time is 45 minutes, and the public dissertation defense will take place in this auditorium later today at 12:30. My name is Nils Kalstad Svensson, and I'm the Dean of the Faculty of Computer Science and Media Technology here at NTNU in Gjøvik, and I'll conduct this public defense. Before the public dissertation can take place, the evaluation committee will take the decision regarding the approval of the trial lecture. The trial lecture must be approved prior to the defense of the dissertation, and this will be announced at 12:30 today. And the defense will be starting immediately after the announcement. You are also most welcome to participate at the defense. Before we get going with the trial lecture, I'd also like to introduce the members of the evaluation committee. So the first external opponent is Professor Isa Traore from the University of Victoria, Canada. And the second external opponent is Assistant Professor Luke Spruivers from University of Twente, the Netherlands. As internal committee, Associate Professor Basil Katt from NTNU in Gjøvik has been acting. However, he could not join us here today. So as a substitute for him in today's defense will be Professor Slobodan Petrovic, also from NTNU in Gjøvik. The administrator for the assessment committee is Associate Professor Shule Yaling Yang from IMT in Isla Bente, NTNU Gjøvik. And with all the formalities taken care of, we're good to go. The title of the trial lecture that has been given to SUMIC is the use of online social networks as a source for digital evidence for solving forensic crimes. So please, SUMIC, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everybody. Myself, SUMIC Mundal. Today, I'm going to present my trial lecture topic, that is the use of online social network as a source of digital evidence for solving forensic crime. So what is the background? Online social network actually comes under the cyber forensics domain. What is cyber forensics? It's also a subgroup of forensic science in order to deal with the digital evidence and collect the digital evidence from digital sources, analyze it, and then present it according to the law, admissible to the law, according to the law. Then there are several guidelines has been given in order to deal with cyber forensics. First is that no action should be taken in order to alter the data or change the data after collection. Then there should be an audit log to be maintained in order to record the events of sequence of events and when these events was occurred and when this evidence was collected. Everything should be in a presented in a log format manner. Then investigation officer has to be competent enough in order to deal with this forensics data and digital evidence data. And another very important point is that investigation officer has the overall responsibility to follow all the procedures given above is maintained, and it is maintained according to the law and guidelines given. Then cyber forensics, there are several stages to examine the cyber forensics crime. First is readiness. Some of the law enforcement agency or most of the law enforcement agency actually ignored these stages. It says that how much your investigation officers are competent enough in order to deal with the cyber forensics crime. So then it comes with evaluation process. First, your investigating officer get instruction from your superior bosses about the crime scene. Then he analyze the risk factor involved in it. Is there any physical threat present, or what are the actual crime, and then involved with the risk factor. Then collection of the evidence, like they first analyze the crime scene, then what are the digital evidence present in that crime scene, they collect it, and then they record it and maintain a log for it. Then analysis of the data, first they authenticate the collected evidence, that whether it's a genuine data or it's a altered or fake data. Then they analyze that analyze the data in order to find the conclusive evidence about the crime. Then presentation, they have to present their conclusion and evidence in a written format manner in such a way that everybody can understand that about their conclusion and about their evidence. So even though someone is not expert in this domain, like jury or judge, they should also understand by reading this report. They have to present in such a way. Then the review process, also sometimes law enforcement agency ignore this stage. It deals with what we have learned from the previous crime, and what are the challenges we have overcome, we have encountered in the previous crime, or how we can save money and cost, money and time for next crime. That also review process is ignored sometimes because the cost involved in it. So what is online social network? It's a web-based service in order to provide individuals to connect with others, communicate with others, share their thoughts and their pictures, their and they can also traverse their friend list and their information also. Online social network is a valuable tool and a source of information in order to solve a crime or in order to anticipate a crime, that whether there is a criminal activity has been committed, and then online social network can be used as a source of data to analyze it, or we can anticipate that there could be a, someone going to commit a crime by analyzing analyze their social network profile. Most commonly used social network medium is Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, then YouTube also sometimes used, then MySpace is very commonly used, and there are lots of others. But from the FBI data, 93% of the investigating officers, they say that they use Facebook very frequently. 93% of them actually use Facebook very frequently. Then there, what are the data we can gather from online social network? First is the social footprint, whom you are connected, how you are connected, which groups you are associated with, that data can be gathered. Then communication pattern, which medium you are using for communicating with others, whom you are frequently communicating with others, that also can be recorded. What are the pictures and video you have shared within the online social network domain? That call could be a very reliable source of evidence. Then time of activity, like when you are active in the social network domain, or is there any event happened in your life after that you started using certain kind of online social activity, that also can be recorded. What are the apps you are using? Either you are using Facebook chat, or either you are using WhatsApp. What type of applications you are using in the online social network domain, that also can be analyzed and recorded. Why law enforcement agency use this online social network domain for the crime scene investigation? First of all, to gather the information about victim and the presumed suspect. Like sometimes victims, they have to verify that victim claim is actually genuine story, or it's a fake story. The fake crime was reported. That should be also verified, or that. Sometimes help online social network actually sometimes help to verify this information. Then they can track the suspect's movement, like where they are going, how they are going, which people they are meeting, that also track their movement. Then obtain background information of certain interested people, like in this community, is there someone very influential person present or not, how they can influence, how if someone can commit a crime, that anticipation can be anticipated by their social network behavior. And sometimes police also use to avoid certain kind of criminal activity in the community, like this, or sometimes some disaster related information they provide to the general people to be aware about this particular things. So that's sometimes that cases also online social network is used. There is a deep relation between online social network and crime. So it can be divided into two parts. One is crime committed, criminal activity done through online social network, and another is criminal activity solved by online social network data. So there are a couple of statistics is there. Crime by using online social network. 81% of the internet initiated crime involved with online social network. 78% burglars actually admit that they choose their victim according to their online social profile. 33% of all internet initiated sex crime started with online social network. Then 50% of the sex crime committed against minors actually they seek their victim from the their online social network profile. And 33% of the online social network victim online social network users actually victim of phishing scam, profile hacking, then fake identity theft, etc. There are very commonly committed crime through online social network. That is phishing scam, cyberbullying, cyber stalking, identity theft, sex crime, fraud, harassment, etc. There are a couple of real examples. Is there? Miss Prince committed suicide in 2010 due to cyberbullying. One of his classmates actually every day bullying in this lady in their online social network profile. Even after committing suicide, this group of friends actually posted a message that mission accomplished. Ms. Thornton created a fake profile, Facebook profile, in the name of her ex-boyfriend in order to defame her, defame him, to by posting some of the his pictures and everything. This is a classic case of identity theft. A 23-year-old Nigerian girl posted a photo with her ex-boyfriend and tag him as a Boko Haram member. Boko Haram is a well-known terrorist organization in the Nigeria, and it is a classic case of harassment and blackmailing. And last case is very common in online social network domain. One guy, 52-year-old man, he pretended to be a 17-year boy in online social chat room, and then he seek his victim, vulnerable and virgin girl, in order to sex with them. And one of the his victim was 32-year-old girl when the crime was committed. In 2014, FBI cybercrime cell actually registered more than 269,000 cases, internet-related cases, and within that, nearly half of them actually recorded monetary losses, and it's near to 800 million. And most common committed crime was fraud, email scam, then extortion scam, confidence related scam like confidence romance scam, real estate scam, etc. And the major most of according to the number of victims count, the top five countries was USA, Canada, UK and India. I think 91% of the victims belongs to USA because it's FBI data, so most of the crime related to their countries. And I know India is 0.78%. But the most interesting figure is this one. If we look at the demographic dividend of this victim, 41% belong to 40 to 59 age group, and 17% belong to 60 and above age group. But if you look at this particular crime, confidence fraud and romance scam, this is most committed crime in this victim is belong to mostly this age group. What we can do to avoid this kind of situation? First is monitor your kids. Like 72% of the teenagers, according to the survey in USA, 72% of these teenagers very frequently log in their online social network profile. So it's not a learning site. So what they are doing, what they are perform activity in the online social network domain, please monitor it. And also another survey says that 17% of the parents is not actually friend with their kids in the online social network domain. That also is alarming situation. Actively manage your privacy settings. 15% of the Americans never checked it. What are these settings are actually in presented in online social network profile like Facebook. If you got any suspicious link, don't click it. Never use your username and password when the URL is not using your online social network provider. Don't assume that your online social correspondent is private. These big giants like Facebook or Twitter, they generate money by showing ads. So anyway, they are looking your chat pattern, their activity in the online social network. So it's not a private thing anymore. And don't share your location, like check in this hotel, check in this airport. This could be used as a valuable information for the bugglers. They can decide their movement according to this information. Then crime solved by online social network evidence. There are a couple of statistics, like 81% of the law enforcement agency professionals, they admit that it's a very valuable tool to analyze analyze criminal activity. Within that, 25% of them actually use this online social network data in a daily basis, and nearly 31% use this as a 2 to 3 times in a week. Some of them says that they use very less often because there is a lack of encouragement from their organizations. 73% believe that OSN helps to solve the criminal investigation quickly. 67% believe that OSN is an important tool to anticipate crime. But the most alarming part is this one, the readiness problem, that 52% of this professional doesn't have a formal training how to deal with OSN data. So most of the major crimes solved by OSN data, like street gang violence, there are some organized crime like human trafficking, robbery, corruption cases, terrorism is a big problem, sex crime also can be solved by OSN data. There are some real criminal cases I'll present. One of these cases is actually used Facebook photo as an evidence to in order to prosecute this crime. One of the college boy actually posted a picture with alcohol in his hand, and this picture was taken in the university lobby, and this it was against that university alcohol policy, and this evidence was used to prosecute this crime. One of the victim of a robbery, armed robbery cases, and he identified his probable suspect by looking at publicly available Facebook photos. Then this is an accidental case, like one of the group of friends, they created a MySpace profile in the name of a 15-year-old girl in order to punk one of their friends who is actually broke up with his girlfriend very recently. But they ended up with helping a police in order to catch a pedophile cases, a 40-year-old man who tried to sex with that particular girl. So it's accidentally they found it, but it is a very interesting cases. And another first two cases is the social network used as a source of information, and this is an accidental case, but this is online social network used as a tool to in order to solve a particular to catch the suspect. This case is back in the bus, there is a very serious assault, and the CCTV footage was shared in the online social network domain, and within 24 hours police got all of the involved suspect in this criminal, and also Twitter, they also verify that with that number of suspects, and then all the suspect was arrested and they got prison term of 18 months. One of these interesting cases is like a British man who stole $130,000 worth of jewelry and fled from the country. Then again he returned to the country with a fake identity, and he shared his pictures, vacation picture in the Facebook, and police track it and then arrest him in the place. There are 689 cases, published cases in 2012. That not the total amount of cases that was published, and published cases, those who have used social network as a evidence of information. And within that, MySpace related cases 315, and LinkedIn there are lots of cases like harassment and employee and organization relation, that type of cases is also there. Due to nature of the data, it's a multi-factor relationship between different entities and different communication. This vast amount of data and their multi-factor relationship, social network analysis is a very important tool, considered to be a very important tool to analyze online social network data. It's a visualization tool to analyze multi-factor relationship using network theory. We can identify key players in the network, who is the main important player in this particular network, how they are communicating with each other, what is the degree of communication, how we can destabilize the network in order to completely destroy their organization structure. That type of information could be analyzed by online social network analysis. So what is the basics of this? The online social network analysis is a graph network theory related problem. It represents with node, that means important element. It could be a user, it could be organization, and their relationship with other users or other organizations. And this links was represent their relationship. Whether there is a relationship or not, that could be represented. So first graph is undirected binary graph. And then it could be a directed binary graph, like one is actually connected with two, and it was reciprocated also. But three tried was connected to one, but it was not reciprocated. So it was connected plus reciprocated or not, that could be also recorded and analyzed. And then it could be weighted that what is the frequency of your connection, how you frequently connect with other nodes with their weights. So three is highly connected with two with a weight of 4 compared to 1, and 3 is weight 2. So he is less connected with 1 compared to 2. And it could be a combination of directed and weighted also. Then it's like one mode network is that all the elements in the network from the same set, like all the elements, either a user or either a organization, or it could be a combination, like user plus some organization, like user, we are PhD student plus with the some others organization, like NTNU, Oslo University. So that could be represented in a square shape. So if the all the elements coming from same set, then it could be one mode. If it is a multiple coming from multiple set, it will be two mode, three mode, etc. And ego network is, if I take a node and then if I look at their neighbors, if that node is directly connected with his neighbors, then it's a ego network of that particular node. There are a couple of measurement is there in order to analyze the network. First is centrality measure. It signifies the structural importance of a node within a particular network. And first metric is degree of centrality. It measures the number of links of a node. Like for this case, node 3, it has 4 links. So degree of centrality of node 3 will be 4. For 1, it will be 2 links is there. So degree of centrality of 1 will be 2, and so on. We can compute all the degree of centrality of for all nodes. And degree of centrality can be divided into two part. If the network is directed, we can calculate the in degree centrality, like how many links are coming into that node and how many links are going out of node. That will be out degree centrality. Then another is betweenness centrality. It measures that how much information flow can control a particular node. Like in case of B, if we take an example of B, if A wants to send any information to C, E and D, he has to pass on to information to B, otherwise there is no other links. So, but if C wants to send an information to D, he can go to this route or that route. Only within the two routes are present, only one he has to send with B. So it divided 1 divided by 2. But if E wants to send an information to D, he can directly send it. Or C wants to send an information to E, he can directly send it. So it's a 0 and 0 for both the cases. But otherwise, it will be 1. And then the total degree of centrality will be, betweenness centrality will be 3.5 divided by 6, so 5.83. Another measurement is closeness centrality, that measures how fast a node can reach to everyone in the everyone in the network, like how closely they are connected with each other. There are, if we calculate the degree closeness centrality of B, there are other 4 nodes, so it will be 4 divided by B is directly connected to C, D and A. So it's 1, 1 and 1, and he is for E, he has to pass to 2 links, so that is 2. So 4 divided by 2, it's a closeness centrality. Then another measurement is, another computation is the structural importance characteristic of a particular network structure. It's called cohesion, and there are a couple of matrices there. One metric is reciprocity. It can only be computed when the network is directed. There are 5 links present, 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5. Within that 5, 2 are actually reciprocated. So the degree of reciprocity will be 2 divided by total number of links. Then density. The ratio of the number of relation of the network over total number of possible relation in the pair, like there will be there is 4 nodes, so the total number of relation possible in case of undirected graph is n into n minus 1 divided by 2. So 4 into 3 12 divided by 2, so 6 is possible. Then 5, so divided by 6, and 5 is links is there, so 5 divided by 6. In case of directed graph, total possibility is n into n minus 1, so 12. So 12 is there, and 7 are possibly linked, so 7 divided by 12. Then clustering coefficient is the ratio of number of existing link connected to node's neighbor. In case of 1, the degree of centrality is 2, but there could be another possibility that 1 and 4, it could be there, but it is not present. So that's why 2 divided by 3. So the clustering coefficient will be 0.67. Then diameter, the longest distance between two nodes. So here is longest distance is 1 to 6, like 3 links, or either 1 to 7, also it is 3. So the highest possibility is 3, otherwise every other links is actually 2 or less than 2. So that will be the diameter of the network. Then small world problem, it's it has a higher clustering coefficient and relatively lower diameter. It looks some random networks, but it is highly connected by this bridge. This bridge could be a single node or a group of node and connected all others node. Why this is important? Because there are lots of criminal gangs present in your community, and whether these gangs are actually interconnected or not, whether they operate isolation or they are actually interconnected, that could be found by this analysis. Another is core proficiency. Understand how much social network is centralized or decentralized. Take an example, like there are lots of terrorist organizations in the world. Whether this organization controlled by a core group of people or they operate isolation. So these are 4 different networks, and it all controlled by this core cluster of all the different networks actually collaborate with each other via this core cluster. So always this core cluster actually control all the information flow between the network, so it can be analyzed by this way. Why this analysis is important? We want to try to decrease the capability or information flow within the network. So there are some levels of destabilization, like breaking organization structure. We want to try to break completely organization structure. So first we have to start with node removal process. We'll remove one node and check that whether the structure will be exist or there will be complete background in the structure. Then we start again, pick up another node and remove it, and then check whether this is this network will be exist or it will be complete destroyed. So another process is removing key element, like is there a boss on subordinate kind of a relationship, like boss giving instruction to everyone and according to that they are performing their criminal activity. So if somehow we can identify who is the boss, then we can remove that element and the organization structure will be completely destroyed. And then if we change the operating environment of particular network, whether the network will be survive or it will be completely broke down, that could be also analyzed. There are a couple of tools available commercially and free available tools also there to analyze digital evidence and online social network data. One of the very popular tool used by lot of law enforcement agency, X1 Social Directory. Another is a Photo DNA. It's a Microsoft product. It's a freely available tool, but it's only available to law enforcement agency. And it deals with child-related exploitation images in the online social network domain. There are a lot of professional companies who help law enforcement agency to solve a particular crime related to online social network data. And these are Forensicon, Global for Digital Forensics, and Law and Forensics, etc. There are deep relation between privacy law related issue with online social network. I'll present an example and then it explains that what are the privacy present in the online social network domain. One of the guy called Melvin, he charged with weapon murder plus weapon smuggling and narcotics related cases. When the case was started and he posted his picture with flashing gun in the Facebook profile, and also he sent some private messages to his friend about his crime, his previous reference of the crime and his next suspects also. And when this photo was used as a source of evidence, then he challenged it in the court that it was breach against his privacy. Then one of his friend actually willingly give that all the information, private messages and chat to the police, and judge ruled out his privacy claim and says that Colin can't claim his privacy because he sent his private message to his friend, and friend can use this information anywhere, anytime, anyway. So it's, you can draw an analogy that in the previous day when you have a only letter and mail service, you post a letter to your friend in a sealed envelope, police can open that envelope. But after getting that letter by your friends can share that letter if required with the police. If the friend is collaborative enough to share that, he can do that. Is online social network evidence is admissible to the court? Answer is yes, provided that the collected data was preserved, authenticated and protected in a such a way that it according to the law. If the information is publicly available in the online social network domain, like your date of birth or your relationship status, if you made it public, then law enforcement agency can use it. There is no legal boundary to use that information. Police sometimes can also seek information by issuing warrant if someone willingly give that information to the police. And some of the special cases, like if there is a 9/11 like cases, then law enforcement agency or government can force to the service provider like Facebook, Twitter, to provide their certain evidence, certain documents, certain information. And all the developing and developed country has a legal framework to use online social network data in the court. It comes under cyber forensics law. It doesn't have a separate law only for online social network, but it treated as a cyber forensics domain. There are some challenges. First challenges is technical challenges, like there are a lot of encrypted channels using for communication purpose. So in order to break that channel, it's a highly difficult task. Then increasing volume, it's a challenge as well as opportunity also. Like Facebook has a right now more than 1 billion users. So the share of content, share of information is very high. So analyze that huge amount of data is a difficult job. But as well as you got lot of information in order to verify your conclusion, or you can easily find your conclusive evidence. Then there are new technologies emerging every day. We don't know after 5 years there will be a Facebook or there will be something else, and their communication pattern, communication channel will be always changing. So that's why law enforcement agency has to update themselves every time in order to deal with this kind of situation. And there are cyber anti-forensics tool was used in order to hide yourself, your footprint in the online social network. That also a challenging task. Then there are some legal challenges. As I told you, that there is not separate law for online social network. It comes under only cyber forensics law. So there should be a common law, a separate law for deal with online social network cases. Plus, if the server is hosted on some other countries, it comes under that country's law. So sharing information, if that country's law doesn't provide any sharing of information, then it's a legal challenge in order to seek that information. Then there are some administrative challenges, like there are not an acceptable standard in order to deal with online social network evidence. And then it should be more practicable, fit to practice in the for law enforcement agency and their investigating officers. And there could be more cooperation between inter-service agencies or inter-country cooperation should be there in order to deal with big criminal cases like cybercrime, etc. Like terrorism and other multi-domain, like human trafficking, etc. I find one of the opportunity for me as my research domain is behavioral biometrics. So we could apply behavioral biometrics here to identify or certain criminal activity, like. Remember that 52-year man actually pretended to be a 17-year-old boy in the chat room. So we can look at their chat pattern, their choice of language, their use of language, and by that we can actually say that no, it's not a 17-year boy, it's more than that. So that type of activity can be identified by behavioral biometrics. Big cases like terrorist activity, we can monitor certain profile, that whether this profile was created in some name but it's used as a different purpose, that could be also verified. Then verify the identity, like if you send a message to your friend and that message was used as an evidence in the court, you can say that I didn't write this message, it was generated by automated Trojan. So but we can verify this by using behavioral biometrics to solve this problem. Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Sumik. Are there any questions? Maybe we start with the committee.
Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
It was an excellent presentation, very comprehensive. Okay, I have a couple of questions. First one is about the volatility of OSN data. I mean, one of the key aspects in forensic data acquisition is to follow the order of volatility. Like, for instance, we will start with, let's say, memory data, for instance, which is very volatile because it tends to change. I mean, and then after you go to more stable data, like, for instance, data in the file system, hard drive, and so on. And so my question is, how volatile is OSN data?
So the whole information is stored in the cloud service. So it's hosted in the server. It's not hosted in your memory, with RAM or somewhere. It's hosted in the server. So you can retrieve that. It's a static data. Once you have posted, it will remain there until someone alter it. Or some you change that information. But when you have collected that data, you have a log file also. And according to the first principle of that cyber forensics, it should be unaltered. There is no chance to alter that data. So I don't think so there will be a volatile problem, because it's stored in a particular server. So it can be retrieved. Like this first example is, no action should be taken in order to change the data. So you cannot change the data in order to pursue crime.
So you mean in this case that there is no chance for, I mean, like the suspect to access quickly the data, do some, I mean, change.
But there will be a log file. When you have changed, after committing crime, after collecting the data, then again you have changed it or not, there will be a log file. Log files will be always maintained in order to deal with this type of crime.
Okay. Also, I have a question about like the level of cooperation that OSN providers give, like for instance Facebook and so on. How cooperative they are. Like, for instance, if you look currently, there is in the news a story about Apple, for instance, refusing to to help develop.
Recently, it was.
So, what's the level of cooperation then?
Right now, the situation is completely different. That situation is, it's a war-like situation. The major problem is terrorism problem. So that's why most of the government agencies, they seek the information in order to prevent another 9/11. So it's a privacy issue that they are monitoring you. But unless and until you are not doing any crime, criminal activity, I think it's fine for me. And plus, the second thing is that like this privacy issue will be always there. Like, take an example. One of the robot came into your house and read your private diary. Then the robot destroy himself. Is that a privacy issue? I don't think so. It's a privacy issue, because it's an automated tool looking. Some person is not looking at it. It's an automated tool to looking at it, and it's generate the decision according to their the information. So yeah, there could be or there can't be a privacy problem, but I think it's not a privacy issue. For me, it's not a privacy issue.
Yeah, but the main issue, if you take for instance the case of Apple, is they are concerned that by helping the government to recover the data, then they will, I mean, the customers will not trust them anymore.
Yeah, that
so
will.
The question is, Facebook also faced the same situation by making it by facilitating the task of law enforcement in accessing the data. Is it not also jeopardizing the business model in a sense?
Yeah exactly. That challenge is also there. Like, I heard that Facebook actually got a lot of requests to collaborate with the law enforcement agency. They got a lot of requests from police that give that particular information, but it was challenged in court also, And court actually says that no, you cannot give that data to unless you have unless someone is actually collaborating with others, like your friends is actually collaborating. On that cases, there is no privacy issue. But for this type of cases, when it's a private thing, you didn't share with others, only it's for your consumption, then law enforcement agency can force you to give that evidence. They have to find other means to solve the crime.
So you presented several graph matrix,
yeah,
as a cohesion matrix and so on. Can you take a couple of those matrix and explain how you will people how we can interpret them in the context of the forensic investigation?
Yeah, this one.
For instance, centrality, or how can one interpret some of these numbers?
It measures that how you are connected with others. Like if you are a high degree of centrality, that means you are connected with everyone in the node. So you are a very important person in the node. Otherwise, you are not connected with everyone, or nobody going to connect with you. So that measures is there. Then betweenness is a very important. How much you can control the information, or control the flow of information within the node. So if someone wants to pass an information to others, he has to pass it to you. Yeah, so you know all the information going on in this network. So that could be a measurement that if I break this person, if I remove that person from the network, so there will be complete breakdown of the information flow within that network. Thank you.
Yeah, I think there are many, many possible questions to ask, and I don't actually know where to begin. But one of the main things that I always see here is that the thing that really is hard is that normally if the police wants to do an investigation, they have to have a reason, they have to have a suspect before they start an investigation.
Yeah.
Now with these online data things, the FBI, for example, are continuously monitoring information. So that's different. They don't have a reason to suspect anybody,
yeah,
but they still do investigations.
Yeah, that's why the another point is there. Obtain background information of persons of interest. So
yeah, I understand why, but should it be allowed?
Yeah, yeah. There is a privacy challenge that whether they are allowed to do that. But if you look at their statistics or their claim that they prevented a lot of crime by looking at their activity. Actually, NSA also claimed that they prevented lot of terrorist activity in the USA after looking at their data pattern. I don't know whether it's true or whether it's a false claim, but they invest lot of money, lot of resources to monitor the behavior in the online social network domain.
Yeah, sure, but you can make the same argument for example, let's check every person's house daily or weekly to see if there's any criminal activity going on there.
Yeah,
so it's an invasion in your privacy.
Oh.
Should it be allowed or should it not be allowed?
I think it reasonable demand that if you are not criminal, why you should bother?
Yeah, but you can say the same thing for invasion in your houses. And I'm sure you won't like it if a police officer knocks on your door every day to check your house if there's anything suspect in your house.
Yeah, but it's not looked by someone. It's or automated tool. So you are not bothered by it. They are looking at privately, unobtrusively. They are not bothering you every day.
Yeah, okay. Let's install cameras in everybody's house then.
Oh, okay.
They are not people.
That's a recorded message that can be retrieved. The information can be retrieved later on. So it's a strong evidence that you have privacy breach installing a camera. But here it's a they took the decision immediately after looking at certain pattern. Then they took the decision. Maybe they delete also the data after looking at it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe or may not. So I don't know. They don't publish data.
Yeah. So that is the problem. We don't know what they do exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah. So is it a breach of privacy, or must we trust them?
I trust them.
You trust them.
Yeah.
There's another thing.
It's something like if I found someone standing in my opposite to my house with a gun hold on it, who you are expecting? It should be a police or it should be other person? Whom you trusting? If you look at someone standing with a gun opposite to your house, whom you are expecting it should be?
Yeah, hopefully a police officer. Otherwise, yeah. That so would be nicer.
Yeah,
but
that's
still,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, having for no evidence reason, forensics all the time searching my data is not a very good feeling for me.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm a bit more hesitant to saying this is a good thing than you are apparently. Mm,
yeah.
And that's the other thing that you mentioned. You said, so if someone hands a letter to a friend to read it, then if the friend says, okay, I can hand it to the judge, and then says the judge, there's no legal boundary not to use it. But I would say, if I hand a letter to a friend, he can read it, but he is not free to share it with anybody else.
But if it is deals with any criminal activity, and your friend is actually sharing or cooperating with others, then it's not a privacy breach. It's privacy is actually overruled by this. So you cannot claim your privacy according to that law.
Yeah, so there is law, of course, but there's also the feeling of privacy and the idea of people that our privacy is invaded. So this is a new area, and actually the privacy regulations still have to be formed.
Yeah,
they are different from the let's say the other old-fashioned things like going into a house, etc. That's different from entering your virtual cyber domain.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it harder.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and so there are.
You are really comfortable when.
If it is a
cyber domain.
If it is a law enforcement agency, they are looking at my pattern or my activity. And if I am not a criminal, I don't have any problem. They are not harming me every day. So I don't have any problem with this activity.
But then there's also one last thing, maybe I don't have time anymore. One last thing, that's about the reliability of the information. So let's say the robots, the automatic systems, gather information to find things that are suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of information that is out there is not reliable, of course.
Of course. So that's why after collection, there has to be authenticated that this information is actually fake information, or let's say a photo. It's a Facebook made, it's a Photoshop made photo, or it's a genuine photo taken by a camera. That should be authentication. Authentication part will be there, that the information is actually. And other thing also, I didn't mention it, that police not only depend on this data, they use as a information, plus they will verify it with the circumstantial evidence, with other evidences. Not only by this data, they will go after suspect. No, that's not they are doing.
No, but still, there are so many ways to fake the information. You can place information in another account, for example, if you're clever.
Yeah, yeah.
And that means, well, you already saw it, so they can make fake accounts for someone else, but you can even intrude an account of someone else.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Makes it very, a very tricky business.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Otherwise, why people are using it?
And as you already said, well, actually, for this specific area, there are no regulations.
No, it comes under cyber forensics domain.
It very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So should it be really allowed to use this information if there are so many questions?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. And there is a lot of privacy breach, privacy regulations is also there. So there should be a separate law for online social network. That I mentioned it, that it is a challenge right now. It should be formalized in according to the law. Thank you.
We're a little bit over time, so but one skip me.
It's just that you said you see the possibilities of using behavioral biometrics in OSMs,
mm-hmm.
but then behavioral biometrics in your case, the key